Welcome to the Life After Kids podcast with Drs. Brooke and Lynn. We're getting real, raw, and vulnerable on all things midlife. We're sharing our friendship of over 20 years, and we're having honest conversations about our struggles and what it really takes to live a meaningful life after kids.
So brew your coffee or steep your tea and pull up a chair. Let's have a chat. Together, we'll rewrite the next chapter and show midlife who's boss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Life After Kids with Drs. Brooke and Lynn. I'm Dr. Brooke.
And I'm Dr. Lynn.
Thank you for joining us, ladies. We've got a great topic to talk about today.
We're going to be talking about the primary needs that we have as women, as humans, as moms at this phase in our life. So turns out that these are the same six primary needs that we have at all ages. But at this
basic
age,
human needs, right?
Basic human needs. But at this age, it's really important to it's really important to know which one is driving us, and which one is our primary need.
I love this. I'm excited about this conversation. I think we should let them know that the first time we learned about this was from Tony Robbins, right? This is a Tony Robbins thing, but we're kind of giving it a midlife mom spin, like life after kids. Perfect. And how we can understand these and use them to our advantage in figuring out ourselves and our purpose and what's next, right?
Yes. Yes. So, okay. Should we dive right in?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So the reason, again, we would want to know which one of these is because we can have, we all have ways that we express these needs. And so it helps us to identify where things might need to be altered or changed.
Yeah.
Or where, and also where we're doing a great job. So it's information that can help to just make, right, get more juice out of this phase in life.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No,
I was going to say that I remember, understanding where you really need focus, what's really important to you. And if that's a really important one, make sure you're getting enough of it, because sometimes there's a difference between what's important to you and what's high on your list and if you're getting enough of it in your life.
Right.
So I think there's this is going to be a great conversation. Yeah. Do you want to list out what they are?
Exactly. So, so the examples of these needs are, or the list of these needs are, the first one is certainty.
Yeah.
All right. Second one is uncertainty. So we're going to learn that most of these needs are kind of in conflict. They sort of butt heads with each other. For instance, those two. The third one is significance. The fourth is love and connection.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth is growth. We have a need for growth. And sixth is contribution. And those two last ones are sort of the cherry on top. So they kind of tend to be the drivers after we're meeting the needs of those more basic level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love it.
All right. So let's dive in. Certainty. So many of us have a need for certainty and stability, security. These are words, right? So that we associate with that. Somebody who would be needing more certainty may have had a chaotic past, for instance. They would crave discipline, habits, routines. If you're craving certainty, if your primary need is certainty, we probably know this about you because you're somebody who kind of does things a certain way or really. Dr. Brooke.
Hello. I can speak a lot to this one. This is high. Go on. I mean, I won't cut you off, but you know that this, I check every one of these boxes.
Right. Yeah. So when we did this exercise going back, was this your primary need?
Yes. Yeah. And I recall it being right at the center of my bullseye several years later, being introduced to the Enneagram and coming to know that I'm an Enneagram 6, and that's what we're trying to do with the worst case scenarios and playing it all on our mind because we want certainty and stability.
Right.
Because in a world that we is
unpredictable.
Yes.
Right.
And unsafe sometimes. So yeah. So I think that, but for me, this is a fun conversation to have because for me, even though certainty is what I crave and what I want, it's really healthy. If I want to grow as a person, it's really good for me to push myself into uncertainty.
Yes.
And some spontaneity, right?
Yes.
And to let go of some of those hard and fast things that I put around my day to keep everything in check.
That's great. Yeah. So that's good self-awareness.
Yeah.
Right. And if you hadn't really had the thought about this before, but you are somebody who, because in the midst of uncertainty. So if you have the need for certainty in the midst of those unpredictable circumstances, if you reach for something out of comfort, like whether that thing would be food or TV or too much shopping or alcohol, anything sort of out of balance, right?
Yep.
Which we all have our moments. I guess what we're talking about is looking for a pattern, right? Then it might be possible that your need for certainty is not being met elsewhere. So maybe things are really, your kids are moving out and you're just really feeling that loss of control, that unpredictability of like the phone call in the middle of the night or whatever. And you're in a place of uncertainty right now. So how can you, instead of those vehicles like food and alcohol that can potentially be harmful if we use them too much,
right?
How can we find healthy vehicles,
right?
Because we're all going to use certain things to get us these needs. Some of these vehicles or things are going to be healthy, and some of them are going to be neutral, and some are going to be more destructive.
Right. And it, like with all things in life that we talk about, as you said, like you're making the reference to having that glass of wine or that extra glass of wine or the binge watch, like whatever that is. And we've talked about numbing before, but it's like we want to get to the root cause and understand that and address that instead of giving these band-aid fixes to symptoms, right? And that's what these other things are. But when we get to the root cause of what is the need, why is it being met, or how are we feeling the way we're feeling, then what can we do to address
that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other piece to this too, which I was listening to something and it was so perfect, is, you know, the truth is the world is unpredictable. So we can't, no matter how, you can't meet your total needs for certainty. But
dang it,
you're a perfect example of this, because in one of those healthy vehicles, you rely on your faith.
Yes.
Right? So this is a place where faith, whatever it is that you believe, really comes in to help meet that need of certainty, because it's something over and above us that we believe has control, that is guiding us, that is, you know, informing us, that we can lean on. And it's such a positive vehicle for.
So good. It's so true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Moving on.
Yes, please.
Uncertainty, variety. All right. So again, they kind of butt heads, but the truth is after a while, when you get too much certainty, what do you feel?
Bored.
Bored. Right. So if you're out there and you're like, man, I'm bored. Like life is just, it's Groundhog Day. Like go to bed, go to work, come home, feed the kids, feed the family, go to bed. Right. And I have had those times in my life. Remember that we've, you know, it's Groundhog Day. So that need that may not be getting met is that variety, that spontaneity, that uncertainty. And so we have to balance those two.
So before you move on,
yes,
I want to say something here, because I think this would be a good point to make, is I think that a lot of us in this phase of life can be feeling this and not realizing what it is, because the kids
have a name for it. It's called midlife crisis.
Yeah. And the kids, so there's two things here. The kids getting out of the house, and if you put most of your time there, and now it's like, well, what's next? I'm getting up, I'm going through my daily routine. There's not like a lot of different things happening. But also, I think this comes up for us in our relationships with our partners at this phase of life. There's just too much, there's not enough spontaneity, there's not enough like something new and exciting going on. It's just, and while we want certainty, like I like to have one of my needs are met with certainty, because my husband is like a very like secure and strong. And so if I'm feeling wavering, I can lean on that. But there's also, to an extent, we want that like, hey, surprise me with taking me out for a dinner. Or like, you know, for some of us, if our relationships are feeling a little stagnant at this phase of life as the kids are growing up, we may need a little more of this, and we might need to speak that to our partners.
Yeah. But then there's also the question of what is their need at this moment? So maybe they need more certainty. Well, it's not necessarily always the male job to provide the spark, or the, you know, why couldn't you plan a surprise dinner?
Absolutely.
Right?
Or do those, you know, that's what you need. Take it upon yourself to do it. Yeah, change it up.
To that. Yep. So love that. So and really it's these needs. So if they're not going to be totally met, right? Once you totally or get close to satiating a need, it gets out of balance and then get happy, which is what we saw with certainty.
Absolutely.
All right. So healthy vehicles for uncertainty variety are, of course, just changing it up, change up the routine, something new, take a class. I mean, that's going to meet your need for growth too, but you know, listen, drive a different way to work tomorrow.
No way.
Try it.
I know where all my obstacles are and where I need to go. And I know I am not here for it. I already have anxiety in the car.
Oh my God.
I'm making a joke. I mean, a little bit.
No, you're not. You're like, totally the truth. No, but really, like, put your pants on the left side first instead of the right. By the way, that's also really good for your brain.
So I was
studies
gonna say
are going to show that the more things that you change up in your routine on your daily basis, the more healthy and vibrant and alive you keep your
that's
brain.
That's really great.
If you're worried about, you know, if you have family members that have had some
dementia,
brain disease, cognitive decline, this is how you prevent it actively. So, All right. Should we move on to
really good
significance? All right. We all have some need for significance. So whether that's that beautiful bag that you carry that somehow gives a status to you.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Guilty. You do love a good bag.
I do like a good bag. It brings me joy. But this one can really get out of check, I guess, for a certain type of person who really can feed on that, the accomplishments of their children, maybe. Like,
would you say it could lead to pride in a bad way?
It could lead to pride in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So some healthy expressions of significance.
Yeah.
That might be, well, just stepping out and taking the lead on something that you may not ordinarily do, but is going to provide a result for your community or your loved ones or yourself that you're going to be really proud of.
There you go. I love that.
Yeah,
that's a great example.
Anything that you can think of off the cuff?
I think that one right there is a really good example.
Yeah.
You know, I think when the significance, like, when it's done for the right reason, right?
Yeah.
It can be a really good thing and it can really boost your self-confidence and self-worth. So I wouldn't, but I have a hard time speaking to this because I don't feel like that's checking the box for me. I'm not putting down on anyone that needs that.
Well, but you're sitting here and you're doing a podcast.
That's true.
That's speaking to women that you're hoping to make a positive change and
absolutely
transform some lives and be significant in some way in their lives.
Yes.
Right. So that's the beauty of this conversation.
And that's a very good example.
Sometimes it's like your friends and your loved ones that can kind of point things out. So have these discussions with your girlfriends or
it's
your
really
husband
good
around that, because there are often blind spots that we have, and it's through those blind spots that we learn the most about ourselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. True.
I think the key is with this one is just recognizing that it's a trap to put it into the things, because that's sort of the same as seeking the comfort in the food and the alcohol, right? It feels good in the moment and it feels comforting, but it just doesn't last.
Yeah.
And so what you want is something long lasting. So we want to put something real and meaningful out in the world, in, you know, that will be significant in the sense that you created it or you had a hand in it or you had an idea that improved something or... Right. And it doesn't necessarily need to be from your work. It could be something in a charity or something in your family or just a way that, you know, you wouldn't have thought about contributing or being significant before.
Sure. And right? I think to put it in terms we can all agree on is we all want to be significant in our children's lives.
Yes.
Right. We want some significance there. Would you also, before we move on, would you say that our friends who are Enneagram 3s would be high in significance as a need?
Yes. So the Enneagram is a personality typing system. We use it to help with self-awareness, to help build relationships.
So many moms in the Life After Kids community are seeking more purpose now that their kids are grown. But over and over again, we hear this one thing. I don't know where to start. That's why we created the Life After Kids Goals Framework and User's Guide. It's the one tool you need to design your new chapter, and it will show you where to start. The best part is, it's free. Use the link go
go.lifeafterkids.com/goals-framework to get yours now. That's go.lifeafterkids.com/goals-framework. Let's get started redesigning our life today.
And so Enneagram threes are our performers, and they tend to be those people in our lives. My husband is one of them that just is so great in reading the room and can just show up and be whatever is needed in the moment, right? Like they just have this tendency to be able to, they make great salespeople. They make great, obviously actors and, you know, there's a multitude and you can't fit them in a box necessarily, but yeah, probably, you know, for sure.
They may tend to that as it's bigger need.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So let's move on to love and connection.
Yes.
So it kind of explains itself. But I think that at this age, let's bring it back to what we're speaking about in this phase.
Yeah.
That we can be missing that love and connection that we once had with our kids, whether that's physical, mm-hmm. like where they would you sit and we would rock them.
Yes.
And we don't get to do that anymore right. because they're adults. Although I try to rock my 17-year-old. She doesn't like it.
I'm actually surprised she doesn't like it.
We have this thing, and this is just this offside, but like, you know, physical fitness and these tests that you see on the internet, like if you can get down on the floor and you can stand up, right, then you're not going to age as fast. Maybe you've seen those. My aging test, my litmus test is if I can still lift my 17-year-old and do 10 squats. So, and she's like 5'9" or something, 5'8". So, yeah, she's bigger than I am.
Have I seen that in action? Can you do it?
I would, yes. Okay. I mean, I only once every quarter, like she doesn't let me do it all that often and I forget to do it. But yeah, when I do, I'm like, I still got it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So love and connection, you know, that physical connection that we were maybe missing from our kids, mm-hmm. The emotional connection that we're missing from not having the friends. One, something we talk about a lot that happens commonly is our friends were our kids' friends, moms or parents. And that goes away when the sports go away or they move out and we don't have those same connections. So often at this phase, we're craving that, we're missing out on that primary need.
And our spouses too. Because I think, and we've talked about this and we hear it from our community, this can be a tough road when, you know, most of your life together was focused on the kids. And now you take that common denominator away, same with the friends. And it's like, well, we haven't put any attention to our relationship and you're maybe lacking some love and connection. It doesn't mean that it's not coming back, but this might be somewhere that you need to start to facilitate some of that.
Yes. Yeah. And so hopefully we use a healthy and not a destructive means for that because, you know, obviously that can be met in a variety of different ways.
Sure.
So just, you know, seeking that, first of all, awareness, right? Is that a number one rule? You got to know about something to be able to make something
to
better.
Make changes.
When you know better, you do better. So just knowing that this is a primary need for you, seeking it maybe in ways, either through friendships. So maybe the relationship at home is growing, but it's taking some time. So get that need met by some new friends or old friends, you know, reach out. Parents.
So good.
You know, get yourself a dog. I was going to say that, or go volunteer with some babies or animals at the shelter. I mean, what a healthy way to get that love and connection.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Looks into your soul.
Love and connection is clearly high for us. Cause look at all these things we just listed.
We were like, we have lots of ideas.
But yeah, I think for moms, this is going to be, you know, it's just a natural, like.
Anyway. Well, and I think it is really appropriate to point out that this one can be lacking right now. So,
and it could be at the crux of why you might be feeling a little lost or a little lonely.
Always getting to that root cause.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. And then the next couple, again, reminder, they're more of the cherry on top. So we've got to meet all four of those at a certain degree before we can even get to the stage where we can be thinking about growth and contribution.
Yeah.
And that's a part of our ascension, right? Is helping you guys. So step zero is you got to be physically intact for the most part. You don't have to be perfect, but you got to be able to have basic energy to be able to get up and then devote to some of these things on top. So that's where we help you position that first. And then you get to the place where then you can start to think about these other four needs. And then when you get to that beautiful crest, that mountain, right? Here's this amazing other side of life where many of us didn't know existed, which is how good it feels to put yourself out there and contribute, just give, and what that does for you, right? That feeling of giving is really, I think, one of life's biggest secrets. Because I don't know if it was this podcast or a previous one, we get so used to focusing on ourselves, our problems, our thoughts, our emotions. But when we can step outside of that and give, we get more back than we ever expected, right? in most cases. So growth, the first one, we always have to be growing. If we're not growing, we are, time's hard.
Dying.
We are dying. I know, it's like, it's true. If you're not growing, there's no standing still.
Yeah.
It's not a spectrum.
Yeah, we don't, none of us, we don't want to be
not
stagnant.
A straight line. Yeah.
So we always want to be growing.
You always have to be growing. So how are you growing? And, you know, is this a lending to a bit of that boredom, that restlessness maybe that you're feeling, that midlife crisis? Is it less about the fact that your kids are older or more about the fact that you really haven't, nothing in your life to your view has changed enough for you to feel like you've grown? Or
yes.
Maybe you feel like you're falling behind.
And really, like, if you really want to feel fulfilled, which I think is a need that we all want in this phase of life, is feeling fulfilled. This is where we're putting our focus now, right? Like those ones, like you said, the cherry on top, the icing on the cake. And one of the best ways to get that fulfillment is by daily growing.
Daily
growing yourself, right? Becoming
reading.
More of who you were meant to be.
Yes, reading something. So, you know, I've taken a break on this for a few years, but this year I have a challenge where I'm going to read 24 books.
Good for you.
Right? And some of them can be fiction. I have a friend that reads like voraciously, and it's all fiction. And historical fiction is like one of the best things you could read to learn.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Like,
it's entertaining and you're
yeah,
learning.
And it's not just historical fiction, but
right.
That's a great example of something that could be fun and provide growth.
For sure.
How else can you grow healthfully?
Well, I think you said, even with this one earlier, but take a class. Right? You can grow yourself even though, and I think anytime, and we had just had a recent podcast episode, go back and listen if you haven't, but taking more risks grows you.
Pick
putting
up a
yourself
hobby.
Out there,
yep.
pick up a hobby. Yeah. I mean, start, maybe you want to try a new, take a vacation. I mean, there are so many ways that you can grow yourself.
Yeah.
Growth
yeah.
is, yeah.
Yeah. There's lots of low hanging fruit for that.
Yeah.
Just make sure that you understand that you need to grow.
Yeah.
Right. And if you,
it should be a top priority.
Trace back if you're feeling, you know, if you're feeling that restlessness, it could be that. Okay. And then finally, contribution. We're going to
end
there.
This one is near to my heart.
Yeah.
Me
too. And it takes, I think, getting to this age for me, it has. I mean, maybe there are some of you out there that, you know, learned this years ago, but it's really been in recent years where I've learned the power of this. And I think sometimes you work really hard through your 20s and 30s to be able to get into a place where you can, you know, you think, okay, well, when I get there, I'll give and I'll contribute, right? The truth is, and I teach this to my daughter, and I wish I could go back and tell my 20-year-old self this. If you can't give then, it's the same problem. You won't give later.
Yes.
Right.
It should be a habit almost. Right.
Yeah.
And you may be not giving on as big of a scale, but
right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be money. So obviously that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Right. But that's less skin. It's a lot of skin in the game, but it's almost harder, I think, in many ways at this age to give up our time, to give up our energy,
our talents,
to contribute in a way.
Mm-hmm.
With those things too.
Right. So it's absolutely, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's absolutely, when we talk about contributing, it's not just donating, which by the way is a great thing to do, and we do, and we have our kids do. But, you know, when you can start to give of your time, whatever that looks like, volunteering for an organization that you're passionate about, or, you know, maybe you're asked to speak and you do that, whatever it is, you don't, whatever it is that you're doing, it's just such a great thing. Because I feel like when we can get to a place where we're so grateful for what we have, regardless of what that looks like. So we all have different things and different walks, but when we can be in a place, I think we can really feel fulfilled in life. and content, and we can be at a place where we're really grateful for what we have, and we see the fruits of what we have, and then we can be really happy about giving back, you know, to the world in some way.
Yeah. Yes, it's so good. And I think that's a great place to
call it a wrap.
Up. I think that's really good.
Yeah, this has been a really great conversation. It is amazing, like, understanding these and being able to conceptualize and think through for us.
When I first heard this, it was like a big aha moment, because you have all these emotions sometimes and you don't always know how to unpack them or what
That's
to do
the
with
thing.
Them. And this is a framework to really just step back and look at things rationally and logically,
yes,
and less emotionally, because when we act out of emotion, we don't always make the best decisions, right? We act in what feels good in the moment.
Right.
But when we act out of information and logical, sound reasoning, right, then we can make the best move forward for the longer term.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think that's absolutely right. And we've had so many women reach out and say, you know, like, I just, but where do I start? Like, how do I do it? I want that, but how do I do it? These types of things, these conversations, like you said, to break it down and get really clear on why it is you're feeling, or where you need to start, where you can just start to focus to make a difference and make a change. Like, maybe it's as simple as we wrap up. Like, I'm feeling really lonely. I'm feeling really down. I miss my kids so much. I don't even know, like, where to begin to build my life back. So maybe you take a step back and you've heard this conversation and it's like, I'm really missing that love and connection.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you go adopt a dog, or maybe you kill two birds with one stone, or you could do that. Or you could decide that you're going to volunteer at your hospital in the infant ward and rocking babies that, you know, I had a friend that did that, that rocked babies that were born addicted,
mm-hmm.
and they needed that physical touch. And now you're contributing and you're getting love and connection. So, you know, it's just, but this is the thing, we have to do. We can't just have the conversations. We can't just admit that there's a problem. Where do I start? Sometimes the starting point is
the start.
Pick a spot and start.
Yep.
Like, just do the one thing.
Yeah.
So
that's so great. It's not going to be a straight road.
No,
but even if you knew the exact steps, it still wouldn't be a straight road. It's going to take you on zigzag. Exactly.
Yeah.
And the zigzags are part of the journey. So you have to take the zig to get to the zag, you know, to get to the end where you're supposed to be.
Right. And again, we've heard this before, but it's not the goal itself. It's the journey.
It's the journey.
Yeah. And who you become in the midst of it. And we're all still becoming. Like, we're not there yet. If we wake up and there's breath, I don't care what age we are, I don't care where our kids are in life, what phase we are. If we woke up and we have breath in our lungs, we still have more things to do and accomplish.
Yeah, love it. And
so
remember that,
ladies. Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. We really appreciate it. We appreciate your feedback. Please reach out via DM or email and let us know what you thought of this conversation, or let us know if there's anything you want us to discuss. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and if you want to watch this instead of listen, we're on YouTube. And make sure you are checking out the website, www.lifeafterkids.com. We've got our blog there. We've got our masterclasses there. And you can also find the What's Your Purpose quiz there as well.
Yes.
Thanks again for listening to Life After Kids. When you have a moment, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you liked our conversation, hit follow and share it with a friend. For more on Life After Kids, go to www.lifeafterkids.com. We'll be back every Sunday, and we hope you will too. Until next time.